In a world desperate to find it, I give to you true grace and lasting peace from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is alive and well in the Lutheran Church and wherever the word and sacraments are rightly preached and given. You sinners are redeemed by the blood of Christ. What does this mean? Well, that is a great question, and one that we will get to soon enough. But first, how can the rest of the world receive true grace and lasting peace as you have it? That is why we gather together every week for worship, to witness the Word of God at work. But all the more today, the day of Pentecost, where we see God's design, God's great plan for the disciples and the church on display. And though we only got 4 verses of this story from the book of Acts today, we see that for the disciples, the Holy Spirit was worth the wait. For while we sometimes begin to think of our faith as our own, as something that we ourselves conjure up, given the right conditions of piety or the right disposition or the right feelings, what we find in Acts and in Galatians is that faith is solely the work of God through the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts, once the Holy Spirit arrives, things start happening. Jesus has told the disciples, sit tight. After he rose, he met with them, but he said, don't go out of Jerusalem yet. Wait until the Father sends the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And they do. And so on a weekend, when there are thousands of religious visitors in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, which is also known as Pentecost, visitors who were from all over the Middle East, speaking many different languages, the Holy Spirit shows up. This couldn't have been the plan of the disciples. They weren't thinking this far ahead. They didn't have the lingual skills to speak to all of those people in their mother tongues, but this was God's plan. And through the Holy Spirit, the 12 disciples begin preaching the gospel. Only they were all speaking different languages, and tongues of fire appear above their heads, and people begin to gather around them and notice and listen and hear the gospel. And then Peter preaches, and Acts tells us that by the end of the day, there were 3,000 new believers. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And at this point in the story, we can marvel at how God uses the disciples in ways they had never imagined. And I want you to take a second and think of the ways that God has used you in ways that you have not planned, in ways that were not expected for you. God has done this for you as well and continues to through the Holy Spirit. We give thanks for this. It is by that same Spirit that you have faith as well. And so as we finish our quick tour of the book of Galatians today, next week we'll start a 4-week series on the Psalms. We hear Paul say that while the law was given to protect us, now the Holy Spirit of Jesus has come, and we are free from the condemnation of the law. Though the law is still in operation to remind us of our need for Christ. I was reminded of this some weeks ago. It was a Sunday evening. Aaron and I were talking, actually fairly late into the night. It was about midnight, so maybe it was a Sunday night. And the front door was locked, and everything was dark outside. And all of a sudden, in the middle of our conversation, the doorbell rings. I wondered who could this be at midnight on a Sunday. And so I went to the door, looked out the window, and there was a Rochester police officer. And I thought to myself, oh boy, there can't be any good news that you hear at midnight on a Sunday. And it's a good thing I was not asleep, because I would have only been half there. But I was fully present and my heart was beating fairly quickly, wondering, what is this about? So I opened the door. The police officer asks, does Jason Burgraff live here? I said, yes, that's me. And he said, okay, do you own a 2003 Honda ST1300 motorcycle? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, do you know where it is? And I said, well, I think it's in the garage. Oh, when was the last time you rode it? Well, oh, about a week ago on Tuesday. Oh, he says, are you sure? I said, well, let me go look. So I went back and I looked in the garage, and indeed there it was, much to my relief. I was imagining it was in a ditch somewhere around Rochester. But he said, can I take a look at it? And I said, sure. So we went out. I opened the garage door. He took his flashlight, took a close look, looked at the license plate, asked me a lot more questions. I had no idea what was going on, and I was nervous. The law does this, you know. It accuses, even when you haven't done anything wrong. It does not know where to stop. No, he was just doing his job, of course, and as it turns out, though I don't know the whole story, there had been a motorcycle involved in a crime and an accident in Blaine that Sunday, and apparently the license plate that was taken down matched my license plate. That's as much as I know. So by the end of the conversation, about 12:30 at night, in my driveway with this police officer, I begin to wonder, well, I haven't done anything, but if the police think I have, my goose is cooked. What do I do? So I asked him, what should I do? He said, well, you know, just wait. If something comes up, we'll let you know. That is the law. That is the power of the law that Jesus is talking about. It protects us, hopefully, but it does not know where to stop. It also accuses us, doesn't it? It doesn't know the boundary. And so Paul says in Galatians, the law until Christ. The law until Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and now frees you from all condemnation, whether deserved or not. And when you have the Holy Spirit as your advocate, a word that reminds us also of a lawyer in some ways, as an advocate, as you do now, then you cannot help but live in the way that Paul describes in Galatians 5. You who have been baptized, you put on the clothes of Christ. And Paul gives this great description. He says, avoid the works of the flesh, trying to find satisfaction in stuff and in people. Instead, he says, satisfaction comes by the Holy Spirit alone. And then flows out of you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, some are better at these things than others. It is true. But none of us come by these things naturally on our own. By the flesh, anyway. They come through the Holy Spirit. We may try to make a to-do list of this fine description, as addicted to self-help as we are, but this is the fruit of the Spirit, which means it is given to you as a gift, a promise, a to-done list. It has been done for you. And no one should know this more surely than Lutherans. We ought to be the most up-to-date on the Holy Spirit of them all, because we have such a beautiful description of what the Holy Spirit actually does. Martin Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed does this quite well. We will say the creed in a moment, the whole creed, but I invite you now to take out your red hymnal and turn to the back, as we have done on occasion in worship. Page 1162 in the very back of the hymnal. It's part of the small catechism. It's unfortunately also in very small print. I'm going to invite you to read with me the bottom explanation on the third article. When we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, we'll say this together momentarily. What do we mean? Luther asked the question, what does this mean? What is this? And so I invite you to read with me his answer on the bottom of page 1162. He writes, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. On this Pentecost day, may it be known that no matter how much you know or how little, how strong you are or how weak, how great you feel or how poorly, you have not come to Jesus Christ by your own strength or your own understanding, but instead, a beautiful turn of phrase, but instead, the Holy Spirit has called you, enlightened you, made you holy, and keeps you in the one true faith in Jesus Christ. And this means everything for you. As I was sitting up later that same Sunday night, debriefing my wife on what had just happened, talking through it, trying to convince myself, yes, I haven't done anything wrong, though somehow it feels like it, I imagine that's how the disciples felt as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, for the authorities actually were after them. But once the Holy Spirit came, boy, did they go out and share the good news of Christ. Now they paid the price eventually, but we are recipients of that gospel, and you have the same Spirit, which means your sins are forgiven, and abundantly so, every day. And on the last day, we learn that you and all the dead will be raised from the grave. Think of that. You here. Some of our brothers and sisters are right on the other side of this wall in the columbarium, many in graves around town and in the country. Luther says, you and all the dead will be raised from the grave, and then you and all believers in Christ will have eternal life. In a world desperate to find it, so desperate that it resorts to treachery sometimes, violence sometimes, in this world I give to you true grace and lasting peace. It is from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is most certainly true. Amen.